So this morning, we are going to continue in our series, Jump In. In this series, we've talked about how it's important for people to make a commitment to a local church. And specifically, we've been talking about making a commitment to this church, to Maple Avenue Christian Church. Now, we're not trying to steal people away from other churches. If you have a church home, that's not our desire. We're glad you're here this morning, but we would like you to commit to your church home. But if you don't have a church family, we want to encourage you to check us out and see what you think. And when you're done, maybe this morning or in the next few weeks, talk to someone on staff. Talk to one of our elders and see, you know, ask questions. Find out, is this the right place for me? How can I join in with what you're doing? Throughout this series, we've been working through our vision, which is transforming people to Christ-likeness. And then we started talking about our mission, which is how we transform people to Christ-likeness. And that is our mission statement, which is connect, grow, serve, share. Many of you are aware of that. So this morning, the last few weeks, we've talked about how we can connect with God and connect with one another in worship. Last week, we talked about how we can continue to grow in our discipleship as a follower of Christ. And this morning, we're going to talk about how we can serve one another, the serve aspect of our mission as we transform people to Christ-likeness. And we believe that's a great reason to jump in at Maple Avenue. So this morning, I want to invite you to turn to the book of Mark in your Bibles. Mark chapter 10, verse 42. If you don't have a Bible with you, if you forgot your Bible, there should be one somewhere near you in the seat in front of you. Go ahead and pull that out and turn to Mark chapter 10. If you don't have a Bible at all, we want to invite you to take that one home with you as a gift this morning. You don't have to sneak it out. You don't have to steal it. It's yours, all right? Put your name in it. Put a rubber stamp in it. Whatever you got to do, it's yours. We want you to have that. We want you to be in God's Word, and we do believe that it will transform and change your life if you let it, and we want to help you do that by giving you one if you need one. So Book of Mark in the New Testament, Mark chapter 10, verses 42. As you turn there, I'll kind of set up the background just a little bit. Our passage follows right on the heels of Jesus' third prediction and description of his death, his crucifixion. And in light of that announcement, we find James and John, the sons of Zebedee, these brothers, they come to Jesus and they ask him for a favor. And Jesus said, okay, what's your favor? What is it you need? And James and John ask him, allow us to sit at your right hand and your left hand when you are in your glory in heaven. And Jesus told them, he says, I don't know if you know what you're asking. All right? They might have known what they're asking. That might be even worse. But he said, I don't think you know what you're asking. If this had not been written down, I'm not even sure we would believe that someone would ask this, okay? I'm not sure we would believe this conversation was taking place. After all, Jesus had just told them, after just hearing how Jesus was going to die, how he was going to be crucified, all these horrible things, they're saying, well, hey, when you do die and you get your glory, can we have the places of honor? And that's a pretty bold statement for them to ask. You and I, if we're honest, though, I think we know all too well the heart that James and John had, the desires of their heart, the kind of selfishness that they had. So let's not be too quick to judge here. We don't want to make sure we end up like the other disciples. The other disciples, it says, they became indignant. The Greek word used for indignant is agaanakteo, I think. I think that's what it is. I'm not good at Greek the way Donnie is, but it's a compound word, which I understand means two words put together. It's the root words agon, meaning much, and aktos, meaning grief. So much grief. They were indignant. They were irate. They were offended. These other disciples were furious at James and John, which reveals to us just how badly the other 10 wanted that same place of honor. Why didn't I think to ask? Jesus patiently explained to them one more time the totally different pattern of God's kingdom. It was so radically different and so radically different still today. Jesus explained that true greatness is not a place of honor. It's not requesting a place of honor. It's serving humbly. He himself, Jesus, is the great example of this. He came to be a suffering servant of God that was prophesied in Isaiah 53, and he came to give his life as a ransom for many, as prophesied in Isaiah 45. So let's look at what Jesus told his disciples exactly, and I think we can learn and apply something from this today. It's in Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 42. Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would first be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So why is serving so important? Why does it even matter? Why should I put myself in a situation that I don't really want to be in? Why should I rearrange my schedule and help someone else? Why should I exhaust myself for someone else who may or may not even care? God helps those who help themselves, right? All I got to do is look out for number one, me, right? You guys ever have any of those thoughts? I know I do. Probably more often than maybe we want to admit. So let's work through some of those thoughts and ideas today. So the question, why serve? Well, first thing, we serve because, well, pretty simply, Jesus served. We serve because Jesus served. Doesn't get much simpler than that, yet at the same time, pretty challenging. The Bible has a great deal to say about servanthood because the central theme of the Bible is the servant of all servants, Jesus Christ. And because Jesus served, we are called to serve. His life was a life of service. After Jesus was baptized, he then went and called his first four disciples. You can find that in Mark 1. And he went to Capernaum and was teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and they performed his first recorded act of service once his ministry began by driving out an evil spirit. And Mark, the book of Mark, more than any other of the Gospels, focuses on the life of Jesus as a servant. Jesus healed many people. He healed fevers. He healed lepers. He healed paralytics and the crowds that followed him. He then heals another demon-possessed man. He raises a dead girl and heals a bleeding woman. And he heals a demon-possessed girl in Tyre. He heals a deaf man in Sidon. And when in Sidon, the crowds grew and Jesus taught them, 8 to 12,000 people for 3 days in a row. And then Jesus performs the miracle of feeding those people with 7 loaves of bread. He then continues to confront the Pharisees and teach the truth of God to people who had distorted the truth. And then he goes on to heal a blind man. Over and over in the book of Mark, we see Jesus serving and healing people. He continues on and heals a boy, and then he teaches the truth against the Pharisees and continues this ministry all the way to the end of his life. Jesus establishes a pattern of serving those around him. The very last lesson that Jesus taught his disciples before going to the cross was a lesson of service. He taught them to wash each other's feet, and he did that not by words, not by a picture or a movie, but he did it himself. He did it by leading by example. Of all the times we see the bowing knees of Jesus, none are as precious as when he kneels before his disciples and washes their feet. John captures this in John chapter 13. It says, "It was just time before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God." So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. It had been a long day. His disciples had been walking around Jerusalem, walking for a long time. Jerusalem was packed with Passover guests, most of whom were clamoring for even a glimpse of the teacher. It was a warm spring. The streets were likely dry, and the disciples were a long way from home. A splash of cool water would have been refreshing, would have been something they desired. And they entered into this house that they were allowed to stay at one by one, and they take their places around the table. On the wall by the door hung a towel, and on the floor sat a pitcher and a basin. Any one of the 12 disciples that walked in that day could have volunteered for the job, but no one does. After a few moments, Jesus stands and removes his outer garment. He wraps the servant's towel around his waist. He takes up the basin and he kneels before one of the disciples. He unlaces his sandal and gently lifts the foot, places it in the basin, and covers it with water and begins to bathe it. One by one, each grimy, smelly, stinky foot after another, Jesus works his way down the row. Now, in Jesus' day, the washing of feet was a task that was reserved for not just a servant, but the lowest of servants. The real-life application of what Jesus told his disciples and to us in Mark 10:43, whoever wants to be the greatest among you must be your servant, is being lived out at this moment. Every society has a social ladder, and everyone has a place in the rung. And the ladder of household servants was no exception. The servant on the bottom rung was expected to be the one on his knees with a towel and a basin of water. And the greatest servant of all, in this case, the one with the towel and the basin, is the one that created heaven and the earth. His hands shaped the stars, and now they rub dirt off feet. The hands that brought sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf and relief to the leper, that brought life to the dead, are the same hands that are washing away grimy, smelly feet. The one before whom all nations will one day kneel now kneels before his disciples. Hours before his own death, Jesus' concern was singular. He wants his disciples to know how much he loves them. And he demonstrates it through the lowliest act of service imaginable. And then he tells them to do likewise. How easy do you think it would have been for Jesus to show this example to one of the disciples and say, okay, now turn to the person next to you and do that? So they each maybe got a little experience, right? That's not what Jesus does. He washes all of their feet. The one before whom all nations will bow is the one washing every foot. Why? We serve because Jesus served. Jesus said in Matthew 13:14, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet." Jesus is teaching his disciples, "Since I have done so much for you, because of me, you are saved. You serve others." How many times do we look at a situation to see what's in it for us? What can I get out of this? What's in it for me? I'll do that for you, but you know, I need a little something back in return. You're going to owe me one. Jesus showed us that his blood paid for our freedom, and because it did, we ought to desire to serve one another. Make no mistake, our service and deeds do not save us. We are not saved by our service. Our service and deeds don't save us, but our salvation in Christ should prompt us to want to be like Christ and to serve other people. That service shows others Christ in us in a very tangible way. We serve because Jesus served. Second thing is, we serve because we are made to serve. We were made to serve. Some people question if it's really necessary to serve God. What's the purpose of changing our priorities to accomplish a task that, quite frankly, God can do on his own? And quite frankly, he can do better than I can, better than any of us can. Think about Peter. Peter was the disciple who denied Jesus three times. Peter writes, coincidentally enough, the book of 1 Peter. Not sure if you would have known that. Peter writes this to Christians who are scattered throughout the Roman Empire. And these same people will soon be encountering persecution by Rome. Maybe some of them already are. And what's heavy on Peter's heart? That they serve. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11 says this, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." Peter makes it clear that we have each received our gifts from God for two purposes: to serve other people and to bring praise to God. Serving isn't about receiving praise and attention or glory for ourselves. It is for God to receive the glory that we serve. Listen to how the Living Bible translates Ephesians 2, verse 10. "It is God himself who made us that we are and given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ago, he planned that we should spend these lives in helping others." No matter if you're 5 or 105, you need to know that God made you to serve. There's no retirement plan from serving God's kingdom. I hate to tell you that, but it's true. There's no retirement. One of the promises of eternal life is that we will serve God in heaven. So what God wants us to do while we're here on earth is get to practicing, get to working on it. As a church, we want to help you in accomplishing that. We want to help you serve. Now, we're not perfect by any means in this area or in any areas, but we're working always to try and find areas to make it easy for people to serve. We have ministry team leaders who we encourage to recruit teams to serve, and not just that we hope people show up, but to do an excellent job, to provide excellence for our church. A lot of people maybe aren't sure where to serve, what they can do. One of the things we offer here at MACC is a class every year called Blueprint for Life. Bruce Western has taught that class for how many years? 300, 400? I mean, a long time. He's taught that class quite a bit. But the purpose of that class is to spend time examining the gifts that the Apostle Paul talked about in Romans 12, 6 through 8. That'd be prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, and the gift of mercy. From that, we want to help pair you with a ministry that can utilize those gifts. For example, if you're gifted in mercy, we have 4, 5, sometimes 6 or more people that can't make it here on Sunday mornings because they're in a nursing home or they're homebound and they can't get out. And they love having someone come and bring them communion every Sunday. Maybe that's an area where you could serve. Why not help by, if you're a good teacher, talk to us about teaching a class for adults or children or students. If it's serving, talk to us about our building team or our grounds team, or one of the countless other teams, communion prep. If it's encouraging, talk to us about greeting ministry. And we want to put you guys in a place that you can use your gifts to serve God. Now, if you're an introvert, maybe the greeting team isn't the best place for you. And that's okay. We can find some place for you. We want to put you in the best place. This is just one of the ways that we as a church help you serve, because you are made to serve. You know, I joked this morning, we were made to serve, and it was so great. I'll brag on you guys a little bit. Jason, our children's minister, came and tapped me on the shoulder about 10, 15 minutes before church starts. And if you don't know, we have a brunch this morning after first service during our education hour. There'll be lots of good food. It'll probably start smelling really good in here in about 20 minutes as people bring more and more food into the kitchen. So there's going to be a lot of food here. And Jason comes and taps on my shoulder and says, our fellowship hall isn't set up for the brunch. And so we jumped in. And as we're moving tables, more and more and more people started jumping in and helping. Why? Because we're made to serve. There's something in us that when we serve, comes alive. Why? Because God made us to serve. So thank you guys for that. If you were out there, thank you. Another thing we offer is a life group. Now, what we really want our life groups to do, other than meeting for fellowship and for Bible study, or for both, is to find areas with which they can serve others, either in our church or outside of our church. Some life groups that Donnie has been a part of over the years, they've served by doing things like remodeling a bathroom for a handicapped lady. One year they bought Christmas gifts for a family who had nothing, and they did it in secret, so the gifts came from the mom. We can't meet every need, but we can meet some needs. We can meet the needs that are around us. I know there is one life group that once or twice, every 1 or 2 months, they will come and cook a meal for our youth group. We have a meal every Sunday night for our students from 6th to 12th grade, and we have a life group that comes usually once every 1 or 2 months, and they'll cook for us. And that is so wonderful to have them in our building, laughing with our students, serving them, and getting to kind of spend some time with them. I love it so much. Our youth group, we encourage this with our students as well. Just, I think, 2 weeks ago, you remember how nice it was this morning when you walked in? Just think, 2 weeks ago, there was snow all over the ground. Well, you know, I called the parents that evening, and thankfully they're adaptable on the fly, and I said, hey, make sure your kid comes dressed warm and bring a shovel. And we walked up and down Harmony Lane, and we shoveled driveways for people. Some of them were already done, and some of them weren't. And we shoveled a couple handfuls of driveways that day, just as a way that we can reach out to our neighbors and tell them, hey, we care about you, we love you, and here's a way that we can help you out. Something else that we have been doing here at MACC for the past 9 years as a church is our Mission Macomb. We encourage you as our congregation members to consider taking a week of vacation in order to do a mission trip right here in our city. And it looks different each year. I know 1 year they've re-roofed a house, several homes actually, painted homes for people, done some remodeling, put up drywall, put down laminate flooring for people, done yard work for people that maybe had a large area that needed some serious work. And a lot of these people are people who don't even go to our church. We've worked with the Campus House here in town before, and we encourage each of us, I think this year they're going to encourage some people to help out at the camp, at Lemoyne Christian Camp. And once we get a building going, we're going to encourage everyone to help out with that. There's lots of different ways that we can help out and serve on Mission Macomb each week. I'm sorry, each year. We were created to serve and to equip others to serve. Parents, I want to talk to you for a moment. How are you encouraging your children to serve that is a part of your responsibility as a Christian parent? How are you encouraging your children to serve? We need to encourage our children to serve others for God's glory. If we don't know how to serve Him here, how will our children be prepared to serve Him eternally? We need to teach our children that God put them here to make a contribution, not to sit around and watch TV. It's only in giving our lives away that we find what life's all about. What will be your contribution? What will be your children's contribution, your family's contribution? We need to look at our spiritual gifts, our heart, our abilities, our personality, and our experiences, and teach our kids to look also to figure out what we and they would be good at. That's one of the greatest things a parent can do, helping their child find where they can make a contribution. And we want to help you with that at MACC. I want to encourage you to ask yourself this simple question. Am I going to be more about giving or getting in life? Am I going to be more about getting or receiving in life? Finally, because we serve, because Jesus served, and because we were made to serve, we don't get to pick and choose who we serve. When we give Jesus Christ his rightful place as Lord of our lives, his lordship will be expressed in the way that we serve others. In verse 44, Jesus says, "Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all." The word slave in the Greek is the word doulos. It means slave, servant, or under bond to. This word paints a picture of one who gives himself up to others' will. This means we don't have a choice. We serve because Jesus served, and we were created to serve. And because of that, we don't have an opportunity. We don't get to pick and choose who we serve. We give up our rights and freely enter into the service of others. Donnie has a friend that he writes about here, and he says his wife had a season in life in which a disease debilitated her to the point that she couldn't do anything for herself or her family. This family had teenagers who pitched in and did chores and made sure that things were taken care of, as did her husband. But there was still a lady in their church who God touched in a very special way and created in her this amazing compassion to serve. This woman came to Donnie's friend's home one day. She had cleaning supplies in hand and told them, "I'm here to serve." And she walked in and went to probably one of the most neglected places, a place most of us would probably try and avoid, especially cleaning for a stranger, the bathroom. The lady scrubbed toilets. She scrubbed the floors around the toilets. And in case you didn't hear, there were teenagers at this home. So that's a heart of service. There are people here in our church who have the same kind of compassion to serve. Some of you are willing to step in and serve as a protector or advocate of others who can't protect or advocate for themselves. You're put in very awkward situations, but you serve how you can. You serve where you were called to. There's a lady in our church who needs help moving, and she was having difficulty finding people to help her. And she asked Donnie if he knew of anyone, and he said that he would try. He called 17 men, and 12 of them said yes. 4 said maybe because they had previous commitments, and 1 said no because he was not going to be in town this week. We have an awesome church family who serves and knows they are to serve. And that is what we want to encourage those of you who are considering being a member to be like. Donnie has shared this story numerous times, but when he thinks of service, this is the story that comes to his mind. He has a friend that he met at Lincoln named Randy Ingmeyer. And he met Randy when he was at Lincoln, and he was a professor at that time, and now Randy is the vice president at Manhattan Christian College. And Randy shared this story with them one day in class, not to draw attention to himself, but to illustrate the heart of a servant that we should have towards all people, because we are slaves to all. Randy was in the airport connecting flights, and he needed to use the restroom. And he went into the restroom, and there was a man sitting in the middle of the restroom in a wheelchair, and there was no one with him. Randy thought for a moment and asked the man if he needed help. And the man said yes. So Randy helped the man into the stall. He helped take the man's pants down and helped the man onto the stool. After the man was finished, Randy cleaned him. He put his pants back on and returned him to his wheelchair. The man wheeled away without saying a word, without a thank you or anything. And like most of us, Randy thought, really? Really? But then he remembered, I am a slave to all. I don't pick and choose who I get to serve. I'm a slave to all. That's the difference. We're a slave to all in our service. Listen how the message translates Paul's description of Jesus as a servant. It says, Jesus set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave and became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Jesus tells us at the end of our passage that he didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. Jesus knew that in just 24 hours, the 24 feet that he was washing would stop following him and run at the persecution. But he washed and served them anyway. Why? Because just as he said, he didn't pick and choose whom he would serve, and neither do we. Even Judas's feet, the feet that betrayed Jesus, were cleaned for the walk that he would make to betray Jesus. Jesus reminds us himself about why and who he came to earth for. In John 3:16, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him, should not perish, but have eternal life. We serve because Jesus served. And we serve because we were made to serve. And that means we don't get to pick and choose who we serve. This is what we believe and encourage you to practice. And for those reasons, we believe MACC is a church worth making commitment to.